make it count, leave a mark, build a name for yourself. Dream your dreams, chase your heart above all else. Make a name the world remembers. But all an empty world can sell is empty dreams. I got lost in the light, but it was up to me to make a name the world remembers. But Jesus is the only name to remember. And
sir, only Jesus. That's the only legacy I want to leave behind. How about y'all? Let me get me down a little podium set up and we get going here. Well, again, it's Friday night. I'm glad that you're here. I'm kind of somewhat, you know, disappointed in many of the other chatters we normally have here. I just don't seem to get it. You know, at first they were all on fire to be here for these messages, but it seemed like it just don't matter to them no more. Again, we can't make them come here. I just don't know why they don't have the hunger or the fire just to be here. But who knows? But at least y'all are here, and that is wonderful. At least y'all get to hear a good message. Because you get to hear a great message by a wonderful preacher, right? just kidding you. But anyway, it's Friday night. And again, like I always say, and I've been saying it every time in my opening messages, I'm going to have to come up with something for Sunday mornings when I preach on Sunday mornings in church, you know. So, you know, but I used my Friday night intro, said at least y'all could have been somewhere else, But you have decided to come here to hear the word. And the word, you know, is placed on my heart. And folks, you know, you can usually tell a good minister or preacher, you know, by majority of the messages they preach. You know, a lot of them, if you listen to them online, you see them, a lot of them are word of faith type preaching. A lot of them is prosperity preaching. A lot is money cometh preaching. A lot of them is coming to donate your jet, your few, your $1 million or whatever you got in your bank account. If y'all want to donate to me, that'd be fine too, you know. But again, you know, that's the kind of preaching you usually hear from preachers online. And there are some good ones out there too that are humble and really preaching a real heartfelt word. And most of the messages I'm led to and that's placed together through the work of the Holy Spirit, lots of it does deal with my own personal experience. You know, me and Dot was talking about that this morning. A lot that I counsel you with in this room is based on what I've been through. And some of us also can say, well, you know, we've been through a lot of hard things too. And so you kind of know how to present the message, to present the gospel, folks. And this is what we should be doing. We should be presenting the gospel. We should be speaking about Jesus Christ. We should be speaking about how we were transformed and changed and, you know, and not worrying about non-essential stuff and, you know, and what I call silly stuff, you know. And, you know, and it's just nonsense to be some focused on just a certain topic all the time. You know, that is wrong. You know, we need to be talking now more than ever, and this is what is going to tie into this message. We need to be presenting Jesus now. We need to be talking to people Jesus now. We need to be letting them know about Jesus now. More than ever, folks, time is running out, and there's so many lost people that when we kind of focus too much attention on one particular subject, we're missing the whole point. We could be missing out on leading someone to Christ. Y'all think about that one. So, again, it is December 18th, a week to go before Christmas. And while I was sitting here last Saturday morning on the 12th after the Friday night message on the testings of our faith, I started thinking, you know, I had another message in mind, and that's the direction I was going to go. But I started, you know, do what I normally do on Saturdays. You know, I read my mail. I kind of read a little bit in other books, and I read my word, and I meditate, you know, and then I'm like an alley cat, so I kind of roll around on the internet looking at news events and stuff, whatever, you know. Yes, I do keep abreast of the news, but I don't stay focused on it. And I started thinking, well, what would be an appropriate message for the kind folks here tonight? Well, I don't know if you've been thinking like me. The year 2020, which I think many of us here tonight would love to just forget about it. I'm one of them. I would love just to forget about the year 2020. Let's do a do-over. You know, as we normally say in school when we was younger kids. And I'm sure many people are just saying, 2020 just need to get over with. But we don't even know what 2021's going to hold. I hope it ain't nothing like 2020, to be honest with you. But again, that's in God's hands. But we've seen, you and I, we've seen so much going on this year. And if you're like me, you just want it gone, out, get out of here, over with, finished. Sweep it out the way. Get rid of it. And when you look at 2020, you look around all the events we know. We're talking about the pandemic. That's the hot topic now. And that's spread all over the news. And quite frankly, you know, please don't take me the wrong way, but I am sick and tired of hearing about it. Every time you turn around, it's pandemic. I hardly turn my television on much anymore. I wait till I know all the newscasts are gone, and then I'll flip it on. But then you can't avoid it on the internet. You can't avoid it in newspapers. You can't avoid it in conversations with people. But we know that this pandemic has killed so many people around the world. We know that we've been battered by record-setting wildfires in California and Australia. Intense Atlantic hurricane season. Ooh, do I know about that? 7 times us folks here in Louisiana got slammed by hurricanes. Like, really? Come on. We've seen on the news crop mangling locusts swarming East Africa, eating up everything in sight. We even saw in the news that massive chemical explosion that obliterated the port of Beirut. What's worse? Protests against police brutality and symbols of Confederate and colonial era oppression has brought millions of people to the streets the world over. So many people are talking about 2020 as the worst year ever because of the pandemic, and we know that the death and economic destruction caused by the pandemic. We'd be hearing all kinds of stories about the government mismanagement of the pandemic, the ways the pandemic has exposed the failures of our social systems, the way it has divorced us from routines that we rely on and people we love, and our delusion that the future is in our control. And many people think that. They think, hey, my future is in control. Well, if you're thinking that, you're deluded. You're not in control of nothing. Anybody in their right mind thinks they are in control of their path in their life? Well, friends, let me tell you something. You are warped in your thinking because you got it wrong. You are not in control of nothing. God is. God's in control. And as if all this wasn't enough, now we see the highly divisive election year in the United States. Man, 2020 needs to get. And all of this we've seen, heard, read, if you're like me, you've been paying attention to, and listen to this carefully, please. If you are like me, if you have been paying attention to, the one thing that I noticed that was not talked about a lot or was hardly ever mentioned at all in social media, never hardly mentioned in the news, never even mentioned in our hometowns, in the midst of all this that's going on. Folks, do you want to know what was not mentioned and all of this calamity that's been going on? Do you want to know what's not been mentioned? Okay. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. And all that's been going on in this world, Jesus has not been mentioned. Never. And as always, the devil is messing up. He's attacking. It must be lag on the internet causing it. Y'all should be hearing me now because I see the mic, you know, it's working, so. But, and all this was not mentioned. You see how the devil's working? See, me and Dot was talking about that, you know, how the devil wants to get in. He wants to mess things up. But in all this, Jesus Christ was not even mentioned. Or God. Jesus nor God was mentioned. And folks, I'm a little bit shocked about that. I really am. And I got a feeling this is being interrupted right here. I don't know if y'all hearing me or not. But see, I see so many people not repenting from their sins, not going to Him, not seeking Him for answers. And somehow, in all of this, the world and all its events somehow has managed to keep God very quiet. And how is that? Have you ever thought about that? How, in light of all that's been going on, has managed to keep Jesus and God quiet? How is that? Let me know if you, and amen, whatever, y'all still hearing this, because I'm still going forward with this. How is it that God has been kept so quiet in all of this that has been going on? How? How is this? And all that's been going on throughout this entire world, how is it that God's been so quiet? Well, which brings me to this question tonight. Have you and I really done all that we could have done this year? Think about that one. Have you and I done all that we probably could have done this year? Fred, thank you for your honesty. Better yet, did we even make a difference at all? Should I have done more? Better yet, did we do enough to tell others about Jesus Christ? And folks, look, I'm not trying to lay down some guilt trip. I'm not trying to do this, no. I'm not trying to make us feel bad also. I'm just trying to get us to think about this one thing. And if you are true to yourselves and honest of these few questions I just asked, you will find the answer would most likely, like Fred said, be no. If you're honest with yourself, that's why I appreciate the man for his honesty. Have we done enough this year? No, I have not done enough. I should have, but I didn't. You see, when I sat back and started writing this message and started reflecting on it, did I do enough in the year 2020? And the answer was no. The answer was no. Yes, I could think, yes, and I do think that we all should have done better. I should have done more. I should have spoken to this person when I was led to do so. I should have made that phone call. I should have told someone about Jesus Christ. Yes, I could have done more. I could have done more. And now, my friends, this year is almost over. And we all made mistakes. Said things we should not have said. Did not respond to people with Jesus as we should have. You see, we've been given a mission, in case you did not know, or many simply have forgot. But we, you and I, my friends, are commanded by the Lord and Savior to go out and spread the good news to all. And even with the new year approaching, have we done so when the opportunity presented itself? Have we? You see, 2 more weeks. The new year is almost upon us. So the question tonight is this. Have you been good stewards this year? Have you been true followers of Jesus Christ? Have we done all that we supposed to have done? Have we? Now consider what I just pointed out and think about it. The real question is this. What can we do about it? What can we do about it? Think hard on that one. I can see right now something's attacking the system or my computer or the lag or whatever because I'm lagging. I can see it now. My hard drive is going crazy. And I can tell you right now, the enemy does not want this message to go forward. And I don't even see my microphone being activated. And this almost wants to cause frustration and discouragement. So again, you know, the only way to clear that, I'm going to end up rebooting the computer and start this message all over again. And nobody wants to be here this late. I don't even know if y'all hearing me right now, to be honest. So if you got your Bibles with you, folks, let's go to our reading scriptures for tonight, which is in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16 through 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16 through 21. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. So therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, if all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation, that is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors of Christ, as through God we're pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you tonight, O Lord, and we ask of you to forgive us where we have fallen short, and forgive us of the thoughts that we allowed in our minds. And Father, right now, I am going to ask in the name of Jesus to rebuke the enemy. Folks, let's all together right now pray and ask in the name of Jesus to rebuke the enemy that's trying to disrupt this broadcast. We are rebuking the enemy in the name of Jesus, and we're stopping him, Father, and put a muzzle on him to stop whatever he is doing to disrupt this broadcast tonight. It's not about us, it's about you. And Father, I'm not going to put up with it. So I'm asking you right now to put a muzzle on that fool and get him out of here. We don't want that. We want to honor you and glorify you in our actions and be pleasing to you in our eyes. So Father, I ask of you to bless those who are here tonight. Be with them. Comfort them. Let them know that you love them. And let them know that we are yours. And God, I ask of you to give us the strength and the courage, you know, as we go about our day and in the days to come. Let's be mindful of the things of heaven. Let's do the things of heaven and be less mindful of ourselves. We thank you. We love you. We want to praise you and give you all the honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to get some water. Good, high-quality H2O, my friends. Anyway, y'all been seeing the title. And I think Dot said it when she logged in. She kind of taking some time off. And she said, that's a pretty good topic. Well, I don't know yet. So we'll find out when the message is over with. But the title of this message is Your Legacy of Who You Are. Your Legacy of Who You Are. Now, since the new year is quickly approaching, and many of us probably been thinking, what's next? Or even possible resolutions. Or better yet, what changes that we will make for the new year, or changes we should do? Or as I pointed out in our introductions, I pointed out corrections in us that's needed. That's why I posed all those questions to you, folks, because when I sat here and started examining my own heart and asking myself, have I done all there was to do in the year 2020, and have I done what I should have done? And I found out, folks, no, I wasn't. Like I said, I'm not trying to lay the guilt trip hammer on you. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. What I've been doing to each one of you in this chat room, whether you've been paying attention to it or not, folks, I'm not trying to point the picture to me, never. But what I've been trying to do is allow the Lord to use me as an instrument to help you on your journey, for you to ask yourself those hard questions and be brutally honest with those questions, to cause you to think, to cause you to go deeper, to cause you to take a look at yourself like, have I been doing what I should have been doing, or have I been doing things I should not be doing? And do I need to improve on that? That's all I'm trying to do, and I'm trying to help you on this journey because I've been experiencing it myself. So here in this message, let me suggest to you, and if you're note takers, let me suggest to you and give prayerful consideration to seven changes that we should consider for the upcoming year. Seven changes that we should consider for the upcoming year. The first change we should do, let us resolve to forget the past and honor God more in 2021. Let's resolve to forget the past. The past is the past. Some folks have a problem with that. They don't want to release the past. They don't want to get rid of the past. They want to cling to the past. And that's destroying them. And that's what that is doing. That is hindering them from doing what they should be doing. So let us in the year 2021 resolve to forget the past, and let's honor God more in the process. And what scriptures do I give you to see to this? We'll take a look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 through 14. And look what it says. Brother, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do. Forgetting, notice what it says, forgetting what lies behind, and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You see, folks, Paul himself had a reason to forget the past. He had held the coats of those who stoned Stephen, the first Christian. And we all done things for which we are ashamed. And we live in the tensions of what we have been and what we want to be. Because our hope is in Christ. Now, however, we can let go of past guilt and look forward to what God will help us become. Don't dwell on your past, friends. Don't dwell on your past. This is no more. It's gone. Finish. Out. Serenata. Instead, grow in the knowledge of God by concentrating on your relationship with Him now. Concentrate on a relationship with Him now. The second change we should do, let us resolve to live for Christ before the world. How so? Look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. And look what it says. And y'all been seeing me quoting this one a lot. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. There's one fellow I wish he was here tonight, because he came in here in this room. He was having a hard time about dying to himself, and I told him he was happy, he was on fire. I mean, he was burning like the bush, and then whammo, we don't see him no more. And I wonder how he's doing. But folks, for me to live in Christ is to die, is to gain. Now, what this means to us, to live is meant to develop eternal values and tell others about Christ, who alone can help them see life from an eternal perspective. And what I'm trying to illustrate to you right now, friends, you need to be looking at the eternal perspective of what Christ wants out of you. Not what this world should be, not what this world should think, not what you think. You should be looking at it or thinking God's way, His eternal way. You need to be thinking about that all the time. How does God want me to live? So our main purpose in life should be, okay, and I just spoke of this earlier, the main purpose out of all of us should be more boldly speaking for Jesus Christ and to become more like Him every day, to die, to strip ourselves, to purge, to get rid of those impurities. I spoke about them last week. We should be constantly dying to ourselves. We should be constantly having eternal values, mindset, and burning into our brains and said, you know what? These things that I'm dabbling with in the world, it needs to be gone, begotten, and out of here. I don't want that no more. If I'm going to live like Jesus, then it's high time for me to start acting like Jesus. And I mean acting like Him. And quit kidding yourself if you're hanging on to stuff or doing things in your life or looking at things or listening to things or doing things or reading things or whatever that you know you should not be doing, but you're doing it anyway. You're setting a bad example for someone else. Folks, again, I'm just trying to get you to think. Because Paul himself said this. And y'all heard me say it last night. Paul himself said this. I am ready. And what he meant by that, he was ready to do whatever it took. Whatever it took. And folks, if you are not ready to die, then you're not ready to live and serve Him. Mic drop. If you're not ready to die, you're not ready to serve Him. Talking about you getting slapped between the eyes, huh? Boy, Jim, that's rough. Sorry. Sorry to pop your bubbles. But that's what it means for us to be ready. Why are we failing? Think about that one. The third change in us we should be doing, all for the year 2021, let us resolve to trust God with strong faith. I spoke to y'all a lot about that last week to help you understand why your faith was being tested. Let us resolve to trust God with strong faith. Beth was asking about that earlier. In the midst of everything that's going on, how can you do that, Jim? And I told her, Sabelle, it's my faith. Yeah, it bothers me sometimes, and I kind of give some thought to some of the things that's going on. But my faith is all I got. My faith is all I got. And if that's God's will for whatever it is to be, then okay, I'm going to have to learn to live with that. But what drives me in this faith, again, I mentioned that to y'all last week in the favorite passage, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Look what it says. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See, folks, the beginning point of faith is believing in God's character of who He says who He is. And the end point in believing in God's promises, He would do what He says. The beginning point is believing in God of who He says who He is. And the end point is believing in God's promises that He would do what He says. And when we believe in that God will fulfill His promises, even though we don't see those promises materializing yet, what we do at those particular times, we demonstrate true faith. We are demonstrating true faith. Yeah, we can read it all through his words, and we see promises in his words that do apply to us. Be sure that you understand which promises do apply to us and which promises don't. Because all the promises in the Bible does not apply to us. It's past tense for many of them. They're for the children of Israel. But there are many today that do apply to us. And yet, sometimes you might not see it materializing in front of your eyes, and you might be getting that little boule lip, or you might be getting to your little pity-patty party, or you might be crying, or, well, I don't know why it's not coming through. I'm praying every day, I'm reading, and I'm going to, and I don't see it happening. It's happening if we demonstrate true faith and wait. Someone reminded me of that again this morning. See, I was at those crossroads. I was looking at this way, that way, this way, and this way. And I was in the middle. And I was wondering, oh, great. Now what? What am I supposed to do now? Then I realized I had to do some more spiritual examination. And I had to stand in the middle and wait. Then finally, it was revealed to me, Jim, you want the answer? I said, yes, Lord, what is the answer? He said, look up. What? Look up. You see, I was looking at those roads. I was trying to comprehend what's before me. I was trying to make plans. I was trying to think of this. I was trying to think of that. I was trying to do, I. Do you understand that? Folks, you want to make God laugh? Tell him your plans. You want to find out if he got a sense of humor? Tell him your plans. Our plans are nothing. God is the one that plans. God is the one that is in control. And it's about high time that we start looking up. Have strong faith for the year 2021. The fourth change we should make within us, let us resolve to be faithful in worship. That's right. Let us resolve to be faithful in worship. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says this, not neglecting to meet together as in the habit of some, but encouraging one another, all the more as you see the day drawing near. And yes, folks, while all this pandemic's been going on, this has been a very tough year for all of us. It's been very tough on all of us. Oh, it's hard. I feel for you. I know it. So yes, there are other ways that we can gather together until this is over with. I know it's pertaining for us to gather in the place of worship, the church. But like I said, it's been hard for us in many areas of this world. But there are many other ways that we can gather together until this thing is over with. But for us not to gather together with each other, basically is giving up the assignment to encourage one another and to help one another and to understand other Christians. Folks, we are failing to meet with one another in any means possible, because when we're doing that, we are giving up our roles in helping each other be encouraged. We're gathering together right now in this chat room. We're gathering together here in this message. Look, please don't say, well, Jimbo said, okay, well, it's fine for us to gather in this chat room. No, hold on, I ain't said that. If you're not able to go to a local body and a local place of worship because what's been going on and all stuff, look, I get it. But don't use this as a venture to replace of going to church. Then whenever, I don't know when it's going to be over with, I am looking forward to get back together in a true local church for the body of believers. And hugging my brothers and sisters and speak the word in Sunday school classes and meditate on the word and to listen to teachings and preachings. Yeah, we can do this online too, but that's not the same as being in the real deal. See, folks, when we gather together like we're doing now, how we talk to each other in the mornings and evenings and nights, we share our faith to strengthen one another in the Lord. And in the process, we, you and I, can find other ways to do so in other ventures. I'm trying it on Facebook. I'm sure that you can do it in other ways. Some of you can do a phone ministry. Some of you can do a card ministry. Some of you can just do a ministry right to your neighbors next door to you. There are plenty of ways for us to encourage one another, to strengthen one another, to find different ways. We just have to start looking for it. Now, folks, with all this stuff going on, now more than ever, we need to come together to uplift each other during these trying times and life difficulties, which case should never be an excuse for missing out on fellowship with each other, or even attending worship worship service when possible. Should never be an excuse to miss that. Never. The fifth change that we should be doing in our lives for the year 2021, let us resolve to honor God with our income. There goes Jim now. He's going to talk on a tithing message. Yep. Let me get some water. Yeah, when I usually hear this, that's when the pastor usually talks about, okay, well, you got to start tithing. No, folks. We need to resolve to honor God with our income. But look what Malachi 3:10. And look what it says. And it says, bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open up the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. And folks, this passage is plain and simple here. If you give back to God what is His by being obedient to Him with your finances, your gifts, your talents, God will bless you for doing so. So in knowing this, we should be willing to do so with a cheerful heart, plain and simple. We should not be grumbling. We should not be murmuring. We should not be complaining. We need to give back to Him what He has given to us. See, folks, bottom line here, really, God don't need your money. He don't need your talents or gifts. All He wants to see from you, if you are willing to give back to what He has given to you. That's what He's doing. He's testing you. He wants to see if you're willing to give back what He has given to you. You see, folks, someone else I've been telling this to, and I'll pass it on to you tonight. Your actions speaks louder than words. Your actions speaks louder than words. Folks, if you really, truly love the Lord, then you'll give back to Him freely with no problems. No problems at all. None. The sixth thing that we need to do for the year 2021, the sixth change, and I've been kind of preaching on this a lot to y'all lately, let us resolve to bear one another burdens. That's right. Let us resolve to bear one another's burdens. Look what Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 says. And it says, bear ye one another's burdens. and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's a no-brainer, folks, right there. That no Christian should ever think that he or she is totally independent and doesn't need help from others. And no one should feel excused from the task of helping others. Let me repeat that. No one should feel excused from the task of helping others. And the reason for this, the body of Christ functions only when the members work together for the common good. Do you know someone right now that needs help? Do you? Do you know somebody right now that needs help? I bet you do. I bet you do. Is there a Christian brother or sister who needs support in trying times or possible corrections if they're going off track? See, folks, uplifting, encouragement, or just to have a friend just to talk to should be there for each other to help each other. That's why we need to take on each other's burdens. That's why we need to gather to uplift one another. If you know somebody that you can encourage or you can uplift, or if you know somebody you just need a friend to talk to, humbly and gently reach out to that person, offering to lift his or her load. Be there for them. Listen to them. Sometimes the best thing you can do for someone, folks, is just to shut up and let them talk. Or when you do that with someone and you reach out to them and you carry their burdens, always remember this. This is what I do when I listen to y'all. Remember what pains or troubles that you've been through. When you do that, it will help you understand and relate to them what they are dealing with at the moment. And then you can be there to support them and help them get through it. See, you want to be a good witness. You want to be a good counselor. And you don't have to be certified and trained in doing this. But you want to understand how to truly help a person. Half the time, friends, what you just need to do, you need to think about the times that you've been through it, and you need to understand what you went through. And sometimes you will see that when you went through those things, somebody was there for you to help you. Another brother and sisters in former churches were there for me. Or I dealt with it personally, and I know what it feels like, because don't tell me, well, Jim, I don't think you really know what I'm going through. Yeah, I bet you any money I can tell you I do. And I understand it, and I get it. I get it. The seventh item, the seventh change that we should do for the upcoming year. And folks, you've been seeing me doing this a lot in the chat room. I'm doing it now on Facebook. I'm doing it now whenever I do get the opportunity to talk to somebody when I'm cutting grass. Or when I go into a store, I'm always bringing up the topic of Jesus. Why? Because the seventh change that we should do, let us resolve to faithfully witness to the unsaved. And that's a frightening thing to think about. We got family members that's lost and gone to hell. But a lot of times God puts particular people in your path. And if you don't take the time to witness Jesus to them, you're part of that person going to hell. That burden should be on our hearts for all the lost. I'm not trying to brag, but I pray for the lost every morning. Every morning. I always asking God, draw the lost to you, Lord. Or if, use me as an instrument, one or the other. But look what Psalms chapter 126, verses 5 through 6 says. I think poor Lisa must have dropped out or something, or she's having some technical difficulties. But Psalms chapter 126, verse 5 through 6 says this. Those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. He who goes out weeping, bearing a seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. You see, folks, I had to take a long look at that one. I had to take a long, long look. You see, folks, God's ability to restore life is beyond our understanding. It's beyond my understanding. I was listening to a sermon by Billy Graham today. Pretty good. You know, I don't know if you can find the channels or if you ever can listen to some of his sermons, but man, that man has some powerful messages. But he even says all the things that we know in the Word of God, it's still beyond our understanding. We never grasp it all. And how God can restore a dead person like me and bring that person to life still blows my mind. I still do not understand it. You see, folks, when a forest burns down, what happens? They are able to grow back again. When bones are broken, what happens? They are able to mend and heal. And yes, folks, sometimes it does take a while for many folks. Even grief and hurts are not a permanent condition. Over time, those two will heal. So don't ride a person so hard whenever they may be grieving, because a lot of times you're not in that predicament. You're not in their shoes. You have to understand, for some folks, they can bounce back pretty quick. For others, it takes time, sometimes a long time, but eventually they heal. You see, but in that process, our tears can be seeds that will grow into a harvest of joy, because God is able to bring good out of tragedy. God is able to bring good out of tragedies. And when burdened by sorrow, know that your times of grief will end and you once will find joy again. Your time of grief will end one day, and then you will find your joy. So in the process of all these changes, of all that I just covered here tonight, folks, I know I covered a lot of grounds. And you wonder why this message, Jim? That's why I call it my end of the year message. I call it a time of reflections. You know, I reflect. What could I have done better? What should I have done? Should I have done better? Did I do all I was able to do? And I always work on improving it for next year, if the Lord is willing. So in all this process, my friends, we must be patient as we wait. And just like my dear friend Dot was telling me this morning, Jim, you were at those crossroads. You could have moved forward or backward or side to side, but you stood still and you waited. And I was patient in waiting. And it wasn't easy for me, because I was sitting there like, Lord, why? What? You got me here at this particular point. Now what? I don't understand it. But when I started to look at myself and look at some of the things that were not right, something was wrong. and I had to ask him to help me change it. So while we are being patient as we are waiting, folks, remember this, God's great harvest of joy is coming for you. God's great harvest of joy is coming. So in closing, I'm going to leave y'all with this. And I was looking, Lord, what do I say now to wrap this up? I'm not trying to toot my horn. I'm not trying to impress you. I'm not trying to say some fancy things to you. Folks, I'm not trying this. No. I'm just hoping you get something out of it. That's what my hope is. But here's something I can let you know from my recent experience. It's very easy to serve God or do things for Him and miss out on doing what's most important. Spending time with Him and reading the Bible and prayer and allowing His Spirit to fan the flame within. To do better in what He has given us. We need to invest the best part of our energy into what God values most. Time with Him. Christian life can quickly become a process of doing things out of perceived noble intentions. And yet, if we peel away the layers of those so-called noble intentions, thinking we're doing the right thing, well, let me tell you something right now. It can show a heart that is often proud and self-reliant. Me. I do things my way. I am in control. Folks, peeling away those so-called layers of your noble intentions, that's what it does to you. It shows you that your heart sometimes is often proud and self-reliant. And one thing is disguising is a lack of spiritual desires to serve Him in the correct manner. And yes, folks, recently I have chosen to step away from my commitments in leadership at the church that I served at, because I have felt it has taken my primary focus away from serving God and being obedient to Him as I should have been doing. And yet many people in church cannot understand why. Why are you doing that, Jim? Why is Jim doing this? They couldn't understand why I was doing this. But folks, it was needed. It was needed. And I'm going to tell you something right now. I preached on, you know, where's your joy and who stole it and how to get it back. Well, that's what happened to me, because since making that choice, I have felt deeply blessed by God and the impact it made on me, the impact it made on my wife, and my dedication to Him. After doing a hardcore examination of myself and my heart to see if I did in 2020 was lined up to what He wanted out of me, Oh man, it became quite clear in many ways I was not. You see, as much as I loved serving those positions at church and having all those titles, that's all it meant to me, titles. Then I realized it doesn't even come close to the blessings and privilege of serving God with all of my heart the right way. You see, to serve and enjoy God in all areas of our lives is an absolute privilege and blessing. It comes with great responsibility in how we honor God and represent Jesus Christ to others. But let us all be brutally honest with ourselves and put in place proper measures to make sure we are serving God from a spiritually healthy place and not from a place of deception and lies. See, God knows our heart. He sees everything. Let's humble ourselves before God right now and allow His grace to heal and strengthen us, and let us serve Him with a right and contrite heart. And if you're not serving Him with a right and contrite heart, and you are doing things that's hindering your true relationship with God that you do not want to release, and fooling yourself thinking you are in control of it, then you are blind. You are lost. You're just going through the motions. You have not been converted by the Holy Spirit. You don't even know what Jesus Christ is like. You don't even know life. You see, folks, He sees everything. And let His grace heal and strengthen everything in us, and let us serve Him with the real contrite heart. God's work in seeing people come to Christ, folks, look, pay attention to this, please. God's work in seeing people come to Christ is just too important for us to make our work all about ourselves. It's too important to make our work about ourselves. People need Jesus. People need Jesus. And I'll leave you with this final thought in 2020. This is my final thought, my closing remark for the remainder of this year. And if the Lord allows me, hope to see y'all next year or tomorrow. But anyway, I'll leave you with this final thought for 2020. Listen to what Paul said in Acts chapter 21, verse 13. Look at it carefully. Then Paul answered, "What are you doing, weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be imprisoned, but even to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." You see, folks, Paul was ready because of his spiritual indebtedness to God. Paul was ready because of his spiritual commitment to God. Paul was ready because he surrendered his whole life to God. He felt an obligation to a needy world. He felt an obligation to his own better self. And like us, please, like us, if we do what was listed here tonight and correct the issues that we have found in our examination of ourselves and then be like Paul, we could well follow his example and say with all sincerity of the heart and earnestness, "I am ready. I am ready, Lord. I am ready, Lord. I am ready." Are you ready for 2021? Are you? And if so, what will be your legacy of who you are? When the new year comes, friends, what will be your legacy of who you are? How will they remember you? What will they say about you? Think about it. Amen. Let's pray.